From JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Morning, Mike.
Commodity prices, where's oil at this morning? Are we okay or not?
It's up a little bit. I think last I checked...
103?
A little bit higher, $105, but you know, still well below where it was here. Look, actually, market's been relatively under control this week, haven't they, Mike? I'm looking at this now. So there's a sea of green in front of me at the moment. Share markets look like they're going to be positive for the week so far. Yeah, well, look, we've been talking about oil because it came back towards $100 a barrel, and it says it's lifted a bit overnight. But it's not just oil that's weakening in price, and we're seeing this across a range of commodities, and you can see it very clearly if you look at the March quarter outcomes in the commodity markets versus the June quarter outcomes. And my interest in this was peaked yesterday, Mike, because it was a day that Australia recorded a record monthly trade surplus, thanks in part to soaring commodity exports. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the thing with commodities, Mike, and the price action and markets of commodities is often seen as being a bit of a gauge of overall economic activity. And you even got the slang term for copper, and it's called Dr. Copper, because that talks to the price of copper as being sort of a prediction or a barometer of the overall health and of the global economy. Now, the price weakness we're seeing in the June quarter all comes back to concerns over the economic slowdown, or the global economic slowdown. But the whole thing has sort of been complicated, was complicated in the first quarter by supply issues generated by Russia-Ukraine conflict. There's quite a lot of mining in there. And we all know that mining's not really flavour of the month. So, the further complications, environmental concerns affecting plans to sort of boost output. It's not that easy to just go and open a new mine anymore. So that fall in the first quarter was around scarcity and those sorts of worries that won the price battle, so prices pushed higher. Second quarter, growth concerns pulling the price back. And if I look at the original, let's look at some of the constituent commodities I'm talking about. Iron ore, very important for Australia, largest source of Australian export revenue. It's now its lowest level in a year. So that went up 39% in the March quarter, but fallen 30% since then. And despite, though, that lower price, you've actually got the economic stimulus that they're doing in China, which is contrary to what's happening in the rest of the world. That's sort of quite positive demand, but the price is pulling back. Now, copper, Dr. Copper, in some circles, closely tied to sentiment economic activity, it's been tanking. If I look at the previous close, say for Wednesday night in the US, the most actively traded copper future contract, that finished its lowest price since November 2020, and copper is used in sort of everything from construction to electronics. We've now seen five consecutive weeks of declines there. So you've got lots of hedge funds, lots of sort of speculators in these commodity markets, and they've all turned sort of pretty bearish. Copper was up 6% in March quarter, now down almost 30%. Aluminium, and we make this stuff, of course, as well, down the bottom of the South Island, it soared 24% in the March quarter, but then down 31%, so this big turnaround there as well. Now, at some stage, all these price declines, Mike, should start to feed through the supply chain into sort of broader price levels. Mm. So positive from the point of view of, you know, taking some of the heat out of inflation, but it's all part of this tightrope that we're walking to try and engineer soft landing as opposed to a big, harsh, hard one.
And quickly, you mentioned the Australian. I mean, yeah, they're astonishing numbers.
A crazy number. You know, this was what sort of piqued my interest in commodities yesterday. Yeah, the Australian trade surplus for the month yesterday, the numbers, they marked expectations were around 11 billion. It came in at, well, I'm calling it $16 billion trade surplus, so 15.97. So a heck of a forecast miss there. And it's this surge in exports out of the lucky country. So a 20.4% lift month on month in coke, coal and briquettes, which, if you don't know, are sort of a compressed block of coal dust. So that's what a briquette is. But anyway, somebody somewhere, Mike, is burning a heck of a lot of coal. Their borders have opened up as well. But just these commodity price falls suggest that maybe that Aussie trade surplus will soften a little bit in June and July.
Numbers, please.
31,309 on the Dow Jones. As I said, everything's looking good this morning, up 269 points, 0.87%. The S&P 500 up 1.25, 3,892. And the NASDAQ up over 2%, actually, 11,607. Now, the FTSE 100, the political machinations haven't dented the share market in the UK. It's actually up on the week, but up 81 points overnight, 7,189. 26,490 on the Nikkei. That's up about 1.5%. Shanghai Composite up about 0.25%, 3,364. The Aussie share market yesterday up 53 points, 6,647. The NZX 50, 11,112. We were down about 0.25% against the on the currencies. 0.6177 against the US dollar, 0.9029 against the Aussie, 0.6081 euro, 0.5142 pounds, 84.05 is the Kiwi dollar against Japanese yen. Gold has been quite a bit weaker, down 6% so far this month. It's trading at $1,741. And as I said, Brent crude, $105.45.
You have a great weekend, mate. Andrew Keller, jmiwealth.co.nz.